Happy 313 day. Jim Scarcelli, he's ready, man. I know. I've just been talking with him. He's ready for the show, ready to talk Michigan football. Here he is, he's firing on all cylinders. Scar, what's going on? You ready? What's up with Michigan?
Got the national championship shirt on. We start with 1901 with Fielding H. Got them all listed on my shirt here. Just hung another one up there, 2023. Life is good. Looks like we got a good guy hired. Sherrone Moore continues to show me leadership. Not interested in anything but bringing the best people in, Danny. You know, you got to think outside the box, and he's showing me that. You know, Danny, you hire – I was a young leader a long time ago running a little company, and I learned, man, you hire people better than you, the best people you can get. Don't be afraid to hire great people, because the better they are, the easier your job. You know, some people are intimidated in hiring flat-out studs because they think they're going to undermine them. No, man, you hire the best, baddest dudes out there. Don't be intimidated. So we bring in this guy, Tony Elford, here, and he's been around, man. He's got a resume, so I'm fired up.
Well, there it is, Scar with the cat right out of the bag. We're going to get to that. Also, we'll be looking with spring practice, getting ready to start. Scar's identified some of the goals for the defense in the spring. And we've got a player coming back since we last spoke. A Cujo, Quentin Johnson, is coming back. But, you know, Scar, right at the top, it is the big news. Is Sherrone Moore has his coaching staff. I didn't know. Mike Hart was in limbo, whatever was going on there. But now it is Tony Elford. And here he is, running backs coach for Michigan. But the twist in this is that the last 9 years he coached running backs at Ohio State. And even more of a twist is that he is from Ohio, was born in Akron, then went out to Colorado State and played under Earl Bruce, the former Ohio State, I guess he is a legend, Ohio State coach. So he played under Earl Bruce at Colorado State, and he coached under Urban Meyer and Ryan Day, and now here he is coming up to coach running backs at Michigan. So how about that part? Just start with why you leave Ann Arbor to go to Ohio State. You're a traitor. Now, this is in reverse. I don't ever remember happening here. So what do you say? Good job, Michigan, for swiping one of their coaches. How do you look at it?
You know, Danny, I'm an advocate for the art of war. The Sun Tzu book written 2,500 years ago, you know, beating your enemy with all different types of methods, you know. And look, we lost Al Washington. Jim lost Al Washington. Remember the great coach, real good coach he brought in?
Yes.
I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. He went to Ohio State. He worked with us for a year. We were upset about that, you know. And
yes,
it happens, man. And if he's a really a true guy that Ryan Day loved and a great recruiter that has strong, you know, he's been all over, man. He's been coaching for 30 years and, you know, he's got a foundation as a recruiter and a good coach. You know, does it hurt them? Does it help us? That's the best situation. You know, it's a two-edged deal there. You know, you got to wonder, he's got 9 years. It's a lateral move. You know, it's a lateral move in some cases. People look at it like that. Maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe he felt he should have been getting more thought in being the next coordinator. You know, they've had a couple coordinators now the last couple of years. You know, they had the receiver coach and now they bring in Chip Kelly. You know, he may have the same kind of attitude. You know, it's like, you know, let me just start over. Let me go work with another guy. And maybe his mindset, his connections with Harbaugh, maybe that'll get me up to the next level. But it sounds like a great hire. Danny, I was all set today. I told you to talk about – I was going to make the argument for Shoelace, for Denard Robinson. you know, and I had a lot of good thoughts on the argument for Denard Robinson to be the running back coach. You know, he's a Michigan legend. Okay, that only goes so far. It helps in recruiting. Okay, but he played the position in the NFL. He's been at Michigan now, coaching with a lot of different positions. And the big argument I was going to make for Denard Robinson was that Freddie Jackson is right there, Danny. Freddie Jackson and Michael Hart were side by side for the last couple of years. So that would have been, you know, something great with Denard. I think he's, you know, he could recruit, scheme. And but anyway, that was my argument for Denard. And but you know what, Danny, this is showing me, as a guy who led, that you don't do the popular thing. Doing the popular thing gets you fired. You got to go get guys that are going to help you win. You know, is Tony Elford going to outcoach the guy and out-recruit the guy that Ohio State's going to bring in? Is Tony Elford going to outcoach and out-recruit, you know, the guy at Michigan State and the guy at Oregon, the guy at Washington, the guy at that's how you got to look at it. And I got to just compliment Sherrill Moore. I just think he's brought in some studs. I don't see any weaknesses in any of the coaches he brought in. I think that we can line up against anybody in the country coaching and recruiting. You know, we're all going to find out. We're all going to find out about how sharp it's, but the coordinators are going to have a whole lot to say about how well we do, you know, this next year.
Well, if you look at the players that Tony Elford recruited at Ohio State over the last 9 years, I mean, you have a long list, you know, from stars that went on to the NFL. People are familiar with the names, but you look also at his coaching career. You said, you know, he's been around from Fort Collins to Florida to Mount Union to Kent State to Iowa State to Washington to Louisville to Notre Dame, and then the last 9 years over at OSU. But J.K. Dobbins, Zeke Elliott, Mike Weber, pretty good list when you're.
Yeah, Zeke Elliott was in. Elliott was out of Missouri. So that's what you want. You want to, obviously Ohio State was winning and had been winning, but you want that guy recruiting from Michigan that can go into LA and steal a kid from USC and UCLA, you know, go into Texas and take a kid from Texas and Texas A&M, you know, go into Missouri and get a guy from Missouri. That's the guy you want that can, you know, obviously it's one thing. Look, anybody can recruit an Ohio kid for Ohio State. Yeah, that doesn't take too much, you know, but yeah, you whipped off some names there that, you know, come from all over. And that's what you want to be able to have, the guy that can coach and the guy that can recruit.
Yeah. And what kind of advantages Ohio State's always been able to recruit, whatever they're doing, you know, prior to NIL, a lot of people are suspicious that, you know, Ohio State was like a lot of the other Southern schools, that they were pay for play before it even was NIL. And so, you know, there's that part about it. There's that whole thing. I don't know. Like, look, I don't have anything to say. Like, you know, should Tony Elford be up there and say, hey, how are you pulling these guys in? Were you paying them or whatever else? And, you know, there's some thought that he didn't get an extension down there. So, you know, why do you leave? You know, more security, more money, more years, you know, so you go to this opportunity at Michigan. But if you can recruit and you can coach, I mean, that's what you're looking for, that combination. And he's got a track record that says he can.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, those are they had to be a real tough decision, though. You know, you got Denard sitting right there and, you know, he's got to look at all the different things. What can Denard
about Denard is that he hasn't, you know, he has been on the administration side and the recruiting side. Do you just pop right in there? Should you be a GA? Should you go somewhere and should you be an analyst before you're, I don't know what the pipeline is. You just anoint somebody as a running backs coach and, you know, put him right in there.
Danny, I don't know. I mean, listen, it depends, Danny, it depends on your skill level. I mean, look what Jim did with Big Grant. He, you know what I mean? Our offensive line coach is 27 years old. You know, Jim recognized early on.
Yeah, but he started as a – but didn't he – but you're talking about Grant Newsom. Wasn't he an assistant for 2 years before he was the tight ends coach? So,
maybe it was a little similar – you know, different – maybe it was a different position. But I think Jim recognized something there. He said, this kid's got it. He's got the ability to communicate and coach and teach and, you know, so, yeah. Maybe Denny – a guy like Michael Hart needs to go and be a coordinator at a smaller school. Maybe he needs to just prove himself as a coordinator for, you know, wherever, Indiana, some place that'll give him a shot as a coordinator. And maybe Denard needs to go, you know, take a smaller job, you know, at a Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan as a running back coach or whatever, some type of position. You know, Danny, I had a conversation with a guy I played with a long time ago who was always a position coach, you know. And I asked him, you know, why don't you go, you know, take a smaller job at a MAC school or, you know, be a coordinator. You know, and he kind of got offended by me saying that. But I looked at his, you know, it's really all he's ever been is a position coach, you know, and then they get frustrated. Well, you got to prove yourself sometime somewhere. You know, again, the guy that is our offensive coordinator, he has somewhat of a record at Old Dominion. Sherrone Moore sat with them, watched them work, because when you're in them, let me tell you, when you're a coach and you're with your coaching staff and you're looking at film and you're trying to figure out how do we move the ball against this Jim Knowles defense,
yeah,
you know, or this guy at Michigan State or whoever, you know, you're in that room and you're talking, you're hearing your coaches, you're seeing the guys that have the great ideas, you know what I mean? You're seeing which guy you want to line up across from Jim Knowles and make calls and make, you know, you just don't want to give that to anybody. You want the guy to line up across from Jim Knowles that's going to outsmart him, that's going to fool him, that's going to deceive him and not just count on talent. You know, that doesn't always happen because we ain't beat the Buckeyes the last 3 years just because we out-recruited them. You know, we scheme it up, man. We deceive them. We do things. We fool them. We, you know, we teach technique better. We see flaws in their scheme better than they have. So that's where we got to continue that.
Well, here's Michael saying this is a huge hire for Coach Moore and a great way to stick it to the Buckeyes. I think if you're a Michigan fan, sticking out your tongue and saying, you know, Ohio State, this is a, you know, another victory over you guys. If you're a Michigan fan, I think that is as much as, you know, when you have a rival, you have the greatest rivalry and you're snatching somebody from their coaching staff, for sure. The fan base is going to be all over, you know, trolling and talking down to Ohio. I mean, this is a rivalry special. And like, you know, we've pointed out, guy is, he's got the resume. And the other part about it, since he has been there so long and with Ryan Day, the intelligence that you might be able to get from Alford about, well, what are they saying about Michigan? What are they saying about not just losing 3 years in a row, but their plan to strike back? What do they really know about? What is Alford really going to say about anything about looking at tape and stealing signs and whether Ohio State was doing it and what did they really think about me? You know, all of that, how much you're able to download and get from him. I find that pretty compelling when you're thinking about your bitter rival and now he's with you there. So I'd love to be able to sit in those first couple conversations and see how much, you know, Moore is like, and how much Alford is, you know, ready to say.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, you've got Chip Kelly coming on and the new offensive coordinator, and I don't know how much they're going to change, but you know, if you're getting recruited by Alford now, you know, and he comes to talk to you, you're a guy that is getting recruited by Michigan, recruited by Ohio State, and now you've got Alford come in. You know, the kid's going to wonder. I never liked negative recruiting. Okay. When I was getting recruited, I did not want to hear the opposing team bring up Michigan. But I heard it. And it was one of the things that really actually drew me to Michigan more when all these guys kept attacking Michigan. I don't think we need to do that. You know, a guy like Tony Harper doesn't need to go in there if he's talking to a kid that's getting recruited by all, you know, by both teams, say, you know, Ohio State. No, we just leave it alone. Let the kid and the parents will see, hey, he left for a reason. You know what I mean? You just when the parents bring it up or if the kid brings it up, you say it and you answer that question in a way where it can help you recruit without sounding like a backstabber. You know what I mean? Because these parents aren't dumb. The kid ain't dumb. But I just like the idea of a guy he's got so many, the network is so strong. The ability to close deals is proven. He's been all over the country and he's going to, you know, offensively. Yeah. He may help our defense a little bit, Denny. He may help our defense, you know, understanding some of the finer points of what Ryan Day, how he teaches things, how he teaches certain reads, certain techniques, what he's looking for, you know? So yes, I think our defense, I guarantee you, old Wink is going to have a conversation with him. You know, how are they coaching this up? What are they thinking here? What are they looking at? You know, there might be 100 things on Wink's list and 99 of them he already figured out on his own, but there might be one thing that, you know, and it can be a difference in a game.
Yeah, they might be able to find something. I like your point about how you did the recruiting angle. You know, right before I came on, I was just looking through Twitter and I saw somebody, and I think it was a winking emoji or maybe it was a smiling emoji. It was one of those two. Both, I think, are positive, but it was Jordan Marshall, the Cincinnati Michigan signee, the running back. A lot of people were worried about with Mike Hart being out, like, whoa, what about Jordan Marshall? And you can understand, you know, a highly rated kid down there in Ohio. What's going on? But it was the smile or the wink emoji from Marshall was over a story about Tony Alford being hired by Michigan. So I take that as good news, but I'm also interested in just the contact from Alford on the phone. He's talking to the kid like, hey, Scarlet and Gray, let's go. And now next time he calls, he's like, hey, go blue. You know, what the kid, you know, is saying there. And you don't know what, you know, now you look at the guys that are on the Ohio State, the commits, the depth chart, and just what kind of relationship they had with Alford. Sure, you know, they went to Ohio State because they love him, but they really, part of it, you know, how much did you like your position coach? And now is Michigan in a spot maybe to grab one of their guys? So those things are fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, every recruit has, you know, 20, 15 different things that they're really evaluating. And it's one of them, you know, it's never one thing.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So Michigan, if you're just joining us and you're wanting to know what this is about, it is about Tony Alford. He is the new Michigan running backs coach from Akron, went to Colorado State, and played for Earl Bruce for a year there, and then went on. We went through the long list, but the last couple, Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, coached for, and then obviously Urban Meyer, and then Ryan Kelly. So is that his name, Ryan?
Brian Kelly?
No, Brian Kelly. Who's the Ohio State? Ryan Day, sorry. Yeah. You know, Ryan Day, getting a little bit of that mixed up.
You know, when you really look at this and you think about it, you know, I look at his resume. He's worked under some great people. Yeah. So when he's in the room with Sharon Moore and Campbell and Big Grant, and they're talking about scheme and technique and philosophy, you know, he's got Urban Meyer. I mean, he worked under some real good people. So, yeah, he's going to bring something to the table. You know, I get it kind of bugs me sometimes when they look at guys. Oh, he's a recruiter. He's a recruit. Man, the dude can coach too. He's worked under some good people. So he's going to be in that room, that offensive staff meeting room, and he's going to say, you know, this is how we used to do it here. You know, same plays. People, we're running a lot of the same plays. And in high school coaches do the same thing. We run the same exact play. And then, but there's one thing. Like, I just talked to one of my former players last week, and we were talking about technique and offensive line play. And he showed me there was one thing that he picked up from a guy that was a little different. You know, you got, again, you, it, so, and it helps you. You might sit there with a guy for 4 hours and it's, everything is all, okay, I've heard this, I did that, I did. Then there's that one thing that makes sense that could really help change your ability to block guys or defend guys or whatever. So he's worked under great people, Denny, and he's going to be in that room and bring something to the table.
If you got some questions for Scar, I see a couple down there. I want to put them up there. Scar, so you played for Michigan. So, you know, you are not the person to ask about, well, whichever coach at Ohio State. Like, you know, that seems ridiculous. It does seem ridiculous. But the hypothetical would be, let's say that you went to and coached at Oklahoma. And then you coached there for 9 years. And then, you know, Texas. They wanted to, you know, you went and then coached for Texas. You know, that's a rivalry. I don't know what maybe to Auburn, Alabama. You coached for 9 years at Alabama, and then, you know, here you're going over to Auburn, but you know, you played at Michigan. That would be it's weird. It's weird. Now look, the fans again are having fun with it. I hear what you're saying about it, but I'm saying that is, I don't know how they get them up. They stand them up in front of the room and have them sing the victors, or, you know, have him take all of his Ohio State clothes. And do we need to see him that he's, you know, burned all of his clothes there? Where is his, you know, loyalties? Here's the question from JSE to you, Scar. He says he doesn't like it. He says it could be a plant.
Yeah. Sharon's, Sharon may have a long time, or Freddie Jackson. I bet you Freddie Jackson has a long time relationship with this guy. That's coaching, man. These guys are, you know, they're looking for the next opportunity sometimes, and maybe a lot of it is he wasn't happy there. And Denny, I remember Coach McCartney, Michigan State was talking about trying to get Coach McCartney years way back before he went to Colorado. And, you know, Bo wasn't too excited about hearing that. So I think he may have influenced him to, you know, go out to Colorado. Don't go up to East Lansing. And talking about recruit, I remember my brother was getting recruited by Minnesota. He had a relationship with this guy at Minnesota. He's all set to take his trip to Minnesota. And he gets a phone call one day from that same coach who's recruiting him and says, "Hey, I got great news. We're going out to Colorado now. Colorado's now the best school in the country." So the guy got a job over the weekend from Minnesota to Colorado. You follow me? He got a job that weekend. So now Minnesota was no good, but the greatest opportunity in the country was Colorado. So that happens in coaching. And so, yeah, again, that's where we're at with Alfred. He's probably recruited a lot of those kids. And now Michigan's the greatest thing going.
Yeah, it reminds me of the movie Josie Wales when they're crossing the river. At the one point, the guy that's you know, bringing them across, he's singing "The Home of Alabama." And then by the time they get to the other spot and the Norse over there, he's singing "Yankee Doodle Dandy." By the time he's up there, and I saw this and this is the second time I've seen this, that Steve is saying that they just redid the Ohio State's assistant contracts. And Alfred was only offered 1 year.
Oh, there you go.
So then he's saying that Michigan offered 3 years, which, you know, I don't have the numbers and that in front of me. But I did see that without being able to follow it up. But, you know,
yeah, that's, you
know, more money, more years, more security. Yeah. That makes sense to me.
It can be, it can be a respect thing. You know, did the other guys get 2-3 years? You know, I've been there for so long. I worked with Urban. I worked with all these different coaches. And, you know, it could be maybe he's pissed off too, but I have full confidence he's going to coach and be dedicated to Michigan. He's not a former player over there, but he worked, you know, listen, Urban Meyer was a hell of an offensive coach, man. And I'm glad he's gone. He was harder to defend than Ryan Day, in my opinion. You give him the same players. And
Hey, Scar, if you're Ryan Day, if you're redoing your assistant coach's contracts and you are not unilaterally across the board, you know, upping everybody's pay or in the years, And then you look down and, you know, this guy's getting something and the other guy's not. You might as well just say, go look for a job. I mean, that's what it sounds like. You know, if they didn't extend him and they extended everybody else, like, you know, then you're just telling the guy to get out.
Yeah.
Go ahead and look for another job.
That goes on in business all every day, Denny. People do that.
You're right.
A nice way of saying, you know, maybe you need to move on.
That's right. Well, there you go. Well, let's move on to something else, Scar. We know that Alford is the new running backs coach just in time for spring ball. Hopefully they're able to get that vetting process and have him out on the field by the time that they're ready to go. He's got a nice room. He had a nice room down there in Columbus. He's got a pretty nice room up here in Ann Arbor when you're thinking about the running backs. All right. Spring ball, the defense. Michigan is going to be led by their defense this year. As we look, they have to replace everybody except Colston Loveland on offense. They've got stars galore over on the defensive side. Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, Will Johnson, just to name three of them there. But those guys are all pretty good. Rod Moore. Let's keep going. So the defense is going to lead them. What are the, as you look at it, the goals for this Michigan defense here in spring?
Yeah, we want to get everybody locked in to the same scheme, and I think that's going to get done. You got to get adjusted to these new coaches, you know, Scruggs, and then he's going to have – you know, we got new D-line coach, new linebacker coach, you know, new secondary coach, new coordinator, so getting the adjustment. But, Denny, the big thing I want to see when I go to – I want to look at – technique, and you know, the scheme is going to be the same. I'm looking for great technique coach. It's going to be great, but I want to see development, and I want to have a pretty good idea of who's going to be our starters in 2025. So I want to get a good understanding of who are going to be the backups behind Josiah Stewart, behind Derek Moore. You know, we know we've got Grayson Mason Grant, and then big Benny in there. We know we got three that can play. We know we got two edge guys. But that's what I want to see. And the coaches are going to have to make decisions, Denny, this spring. You got, Keyshawn Bennett? What is it? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to have to make a decision as a coach. And I'm just going to use him as an example. You're going to have all kinds of position groups where you're going to have a 3 or 4 year guy. Do you want him to be the backup to Moore or Josiah Stewart? Or do you want a guy like Eno Etta, a second year kid who, you know, maybe won't give you as much production as a backup, but in 2 years he'll pass up where Bennett ever could be. You follow me?
Yeah.
So those are decisions that are going to be happening. You know, a dummy just looks at, you know, what's happening now. You got to think way in advance. You know, who's going to be my guys? Where are we at in 2025? You know, and start developing backups that aren't going to leave next year. I don't want backups that are going to leave. You know what I mean? I'd rather give the reps. That was my thinking as a coach. You know, it's hard. You're a senior, man, and you're as good as this young kid. I'm probably going to play the young kid as a backup. You know what I mean? It's not fair, but that's how you reload. You know, Derek Moore and Josiah Stewart were backups last year. Okay, and Moore was a backup as a true freshman. He played quite a bit in there, but we reap the benefits of his outstanding play. Probably from midseason on, he was outstanding. And this next year, we're going to really reap the benefits of the reps. I'm just talking about those two players. We're going to have great play from those two guys, but we got to get the next guys ready. So 2025 defensive depth, I want to see where we're at. And with that,
good stuff. Wink Martindale was on the MGO Blue podcast. I pulled 20 seconds of Wink talking about this defense that Michigan's been running for the last 3 years. Here it is, Scar.
In all humility, I'm the OG of this system, so we're going to be just fine. So, you know, we're all excited about it, and it's going to be fun to see with the new crew that we have defensively on the coaching staff. You know, that's why I tell them every year it evolves to everybody on the staff of what we do with this system. So it's all of our system.
I would love to be sitting in a as a defensive player looking at that dude. You know, he comes out, I'm the OG. I mean, he did. He was the guy with John Harbaugh. And I said a couple weeks ago, Jack Harbaugh, too. He coached under Jack Harbaugh.
Right.
And I see what they do. So I like the way he talks. He's going to keep – those guys are going to be fired up, ready to practice every day. He ain't going to be afraid to rip somebody either. I could tell the way he talks. So, yeah, he's going to bring that coaching staff together. Those kids are going to listen to him and listen to them coaches. And they're you know, I'm an old Michigan former alum, and I'm always looking at the young defensive guys and what are they going to be dealing with. So I'm feeling real good about them. That was a great, great little statement there, Denny. You know, Denny, let me just say this. I read some of the quotes from your Wednesday or Monday podcast. Some people thought one guy thought we downgraded at every one of our position hires. One of our callers, that was one of their quotes. You know, I felt bad when we lost Sean Nua. We just won a Big Ten championship. We lost Sean Nua. What does Jim do? He goes out and get Mike Elston. Real good coach, real good recruiter. So we lost him. You know, and what does Sharon do? He goes out and gets Scruggs. Now we're going to find out. Is he a great teacher of technique? Can he recruit? You know, we lost George Helo a couple years ago. The great linebacker. What does Jim do? Gets rid of him. He brings in Chris Partridge. Win another championship. You know, Clinksdale did a great job with the secondary. I watched him coach. He was a great coach, communicator, great recruiter. You know, we brought some guys in. Let's give these guys a chance before we start believing the narrative that we downgraded. Because I can't make that. I cannot make that analysis right now. I don't think any of us can. But looking at it on the hoof, I see no reason to believe that.
Well, you know, if Jim Harbaugh would have stayed and we were sitting here talking right now, a lot of the conversation would be about, man, the offense, they really need to, they have to replace everyone and they've got a tough schedule. So these guys have that. So they're, you know, talking about running it back and repeating if Jim Harbaugh was still here, the questions that they have are still there. I think it's natural when you, not only is Harbaugh a legend, but this team just went undefeated. And what they did this last 3 years, everything, you know, for the last 30 years, I've compared all those teams with the 97 team. You have the gold standard. So all of these guys are going to keep compared. Hey, well, the last staff was undefeated. You know, it's great. And it's also tough, you know, for these guys to come in and they're be at Michigan, but you know, hey, you can't be a shrinking violet. You got to be ready to attack it and be ready.
I don't know that you can totally look at the record to evaluate the defensive staff. Or even, I mean, listen, we got to get quarterback play. Okay. We got to get right. We had great quarterback play. There's a lot of things that, you know, our coaches are going to do the best they can. And we had some great players, had some great seasons. But I just looking at what I'm seeing, you know, listen, we went from McDonald, you know, we didn't know. And Minter it's the same thing defensively from a scheme guy, figured, you know, the just smart guy. So
I just think about Scar, you know, the 2021 season that they went to the college football playoff and they beat Ohio State. When they lost to Michigan State, Mike McDonald was out coached against the Spartans. He had the Michigan State was sitting on the rotation and the substitution thing, and Michigan was running around a few times, you know, chasing their tail or, you know, the chicken with their head cut off. They got out coached in that game. They had their chances to win that game, but ultimately they did get out coached in that game, and it was on the defensive side. You know, K-9 scored whatever it was, all those touchdowns. He was a great back and everything, but Michigan was running around and didn't have it. So everything, it's one of those things, not everything, even though they went undefeated this last year and these last 3 years were great, not everything was just sitting over there and like, oh, this defense was like, you know, the greatest thing ever. No, they had some growing pains and working into it as well. And these last 2 years, they had the greatest quarterback ever to, you know, to play at Michigan. And, you know, J.J. McCarthy's in the pros now. I mean, those are things I'm not telling anybody how to feel. I mean, just throwing out the facts about some of this.
Yeah, there's no question. That was McDonald's worst game. Yeah, we had they ran all over us. That offensive coordinator, he got the best of McDonald, but it didn't happen the following year. You know, we out-coached that guy the following year. But, I got in my notes here, too. I want to talk about a guy because people want to talk about who we should hire, this, that, or whatever. I heard Tyrone Wheatley's name. Well, I'm glad Tyrone Wheatley is right where he is, trying to prove himself at Wayne State. So, again, I'm just cheering for him. And I think more of our guys, like Michael Hart and some of these guys, need to do what Tyrone Wheatley's doing and say, you know what, the hell with it. I'm taking one of these small jobs. I'm going to go do what Jim Tressel did, go to Youngstown State and prove myself, and then they're going to have to hire me. Okay, so I wanted to throw that out, and that's that.
Yeah, and Wheatley, he was down at an HBCU before this as a head coach. I talked with him when he was down there. And, you know, now being at Wayne State, like I could see him moving up pretty quick from and congratulations, by the way, to Tyrone Wheatley, who was going into the High School Hall of Fame. I think it's a National High School Hall of Fame. That was just announced this week. I don't know what the protocol is for who gets nominated, but I'm old enough to remember both Wheatley as a college player, but as a high school player at Robichaud, Dearborn Heights Robichaud, he wasn't just a great football player. He was a great track guy too. Like Alan Jefferson was great at, you know, great track that went to Michigan at the same time. And in Wheatley, he was a total track star. And then obviously great running back too. So
yeah, my brother coached against him in high school, Marine City. Played Robichaud in a state playoff. I was on the sideline with Marine City, and I never seen a more dominant boy, you know, man among boys. The guy was unbelievable, but I'm cheering for him.
Me too.
You know, and I think he needs to prove, you know, Moose, I think he needs to stay right where he is, prove himself, and then he'll get to be a head coach at like an Eastern Michigan or Central Michigan, or maybe some other school will take him as a head coach. He's like, forget that way you write your own bio. Then you're not waiting on someone else to hire you and promote you. You do it. You prove it as a leader. Let me just say this too, Denny. I saw some of the other questions about your last podcast. You know, a lot of panic out. A lot of people in the media, some Michigan people panicking about, you know, the Buckeyes bringing all these transfers in, keeping all the Tamalua and the big other dude, getting them all back, you know. And you know what? I would just say that ain't nothing to do where we've been the last 3 years, okay? They've had better recruits. They win the recruiting battle, okay? But we're out coaching them, man. We're out leading them. Jerome's going to outlead them. We're going to out-scheme them. We're going to outlift them. We're going to out-team them, okay? We're going to just keep doing the little things. Now, I did not want to see him get that Julian Sand. I already said that. That kid was a big-time recruit that was at Alabama. But all this other stuff, I ain't worried about it because we've been there. They've been getting recruits for the last 15 years out recruiting us. So forget that.
Yeah, and the thing to me is you're right. And, you know, you take notice the way that they hit the transfer portal this year and then the players that they were getting in. It looks like an embarrassment of riches. But for me, for Ohio State and where it's at right now, when the shoe was on the other foot, Ohio State was in Michigan's head. They were in the players' heads. They were in the coaches' heads. They were certainly in the fans' heads. And they had that going. The reverse is true right now. Michigan is in their heads. And the other thing is that Ohio State fans, and we would be doing the same thing up here. They had such a run at the quarterback position. They were recruiting them. They were coming in, and they worked on the field. Not every single five-star, every single quarterback that you bring in ends up being the star player for you. It just happens where the guys don't work out, no matter how good of a coach you are. And that was some of the growing pains that they had last year. That's normal for even the top programs to bring a guy in. Look at all the guys that Alabama has brought in over the years. And you're like, wow, they can't find a quarterback. A couple times they couldn't, you know, and they had to rely on other things. Ohio State, they had just been got. And then if their starter went down, the backup was good. What I'm saying is that can happen with all the guys that they have right now. I know what you're saying about saying and the guy they're bringing in from Kansas State. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't always work for them. The odds are that they're going to have a couple lemons in there. And, you know, the streak of just putting them out there and getting the great play that they've been getting from the quarterback, it's just not it's not sustainable with the odds. It's great.
Well, listen, Danny, there was a change from Urban Meyer to Ryan Day from a philosophy, run the quarterback standpoint. And in Ryan Day's offense is easier to defend. And Jim got him out of the comfort zone. With our type of offense, got them out of their comfort zone. They do not want to defend fullbacks and tight ends.
No.
When you see spread all day long, so what is Ohio State doing? Danny, I told you, they're going to be more and more like us with Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
I think he said, you know what? If we can't beat them, join them. We're going to run stuff to help our defense. But getting back to that narrative that, you know, we're getting beat up on the transfers, or there was some guy wrote in the, you know, all Michigan's one of the worst teams in transfers. They're getting beat on the – hey, maybe we don't think we need a bunch of help at the transfers. Maybe we got confidence in Greg Crippen. Maybe we got confidence in Gio. You know, we don't need to bring in 12. Maybe we only need two or three this year because we did a good job at recruiting. You know, transfers – You don't buy that?
Danny, well, I didn't think they needed it last year, and they brought in, you know, two or three more offensive linemen, and they needed them all. And I didn't think they needed to bring in a quarter, and they brought Josh Wallace in. I didn't think they needed to bring in another linebacker, and they brought in Houseman. I mean, they just kept bringing them in, and it was great. You know, 10 guys. Remember, there was a big question mark at kicker. And Harbaugh brought in two. He brought in Turner, and he brought the kid in from Mississippi State. He was bringing them in left and right. You can't have enough guys, and you can't have enough competition. So I get the quarterback.
Jim knew his team better than you and I did. Sherrone Moore knows his talent in the backups better than you and I do. And he knows what potential transfers were out there better than you and I do. So he was looking at, you know, I got McBurrow, I got these young guys, I got this, I got Eno Etta, he's looking at all that and making that decision. I know what I got coming back. I know I got these kids recruited, and I'd rather invest in this guy than to go get that kid from UAB or wherever. And I don't think he didn't consider transfers. I think he did. I think they saw that, you know, it works at times, but I think he just sized it up and said, I'm sticking with what we got here.
Yeah, I think that they were playing from behind because they won a national championship and Harbaugh had him in limbo, and we get all of that. So it's not going to be perfect all of the time. So they were behind on a lot of those guys. And what we do know is that they had two big wide receivers, the kid from Wake who was 6'5", and there was a kid from Indiana who I think 6'4", 6'5". So they were looking for a big wideout, and they also were looking at corners. And it looked like slot corners. Amos, I think the kid was. They looked at it, brought another kid in that ended up the beard from Northwestern and ended up going to Notre Dame. So they were looking at a nickel and a corner and wideout. So I would think that, you know, people say, well, what are they going to be looking at for the transfer portal in the spring portal when it opens up? They're going to be looking probably for some corners and a tall wideout.
Yeah,
that's what they did before.
Well, we're going to see, and I don't think we're going to see many transfers come in. I think if the over under was 2, I would say, or 2.5, I would say it's under 2.5 that additional transfers will be brought in.
Let me ask you about the return. Michigan lost Keon Sabb, but then this week, and it rumored for a little while that Quentin Johnson, Cujo, is going to be back as a safety for Michigan. Is that not that big of a deal? Do you think it's, you know, great news, good news? How do you look at it?
I think it's great news. It's a guy that knows our system. He's a proven player. He's a proven player. He made huge plays in big games.
Yes, he did.
He's a team, you know, he's a great attitude guy. They wanted him back. You know, the NIL probably was a big factor in that. You know, I don't know where he was on the draft board and where he is with graduating, but he's like, you know, I like working with Sharon Moore, and I want to, you know, yeah. So I think it's a great decision. It gives us great depth there. You know, again, though, Denny, it's the only downside of it, though. The downside of it is that is our three top safeties are all potentially could be gone. You know, Rodmore, Page, and Q. So I never liked that as a coach. I never wanted to have all my guy. You like to have a young guy in there. So the following year, you got somebody with some type of leadership, you know, in your returner. So, but yeah, he's a good player. He's a proven player, and that's all good stuff. Danny, I want to get on something I saw old Joel Klatt say.
All right.
You know, this was a statement from Joel Klatt. You know, Alabama lost because Michigan was more committed. Michigan was more committed, okay? And that was kind of his statement. Alabama lost. Michigan was more committed. Well, what the hell does that mean, Joel? Saban recruited those guys. He did everything but put blame on anyone or give credit to anyone. That was the statement. Michigan was more committed. Well, who's responsible for that is my question. Okay, Saban recruited those guys. Highly recruited, you know, high-maintenance guys. And Jim recruited his guys. Not all a bunch of five-star, three- and four-star guys. But who's responsible for creating that commitment? That's what the leader does. You know, the leader creates that team, that selflessness, the great attitude. You know, you build that, you know, and, you know, then he said that, you know, Georgia had better players too. Ohio State had better players too. But he did everything but give Harbaugh credit as a leader. And I just want to say that that's about leadership. Okay. If your players are more committed, that means your assistant coaches are more committed. Then it trickles right on down to your players. Okay. So, because the winged helmet doesn't win championships, Denny, you know. And the dude with the elephant costume on in the stands, he's not the reason they weren't committed. So I guess I want to say that it's about the culture that you create. You want guys to fight. You want guys to, you know, to be better with your, you know, a hell of a lot had to do with scheme too. We out coached them. We Mason Graham wasn't as recruited as high as some of those kids. Saban would never recruit Mason Graham in a million years. You know, but Jim found him. He had a Boise State offer. So the eye for talent, coaching better technique, having better scheme, mentor, Sharon Moore, both sides of the ball, fooling the guy across from you, you know. So I wanted to point out that Joel did not have the courage to blame Saban for not having his coaches and his players more committed, because that's all about the leader. And that's what we're hoping we get from Sharon Moore. And I do believe we are, that we're going to have guys that are committed, because that all starts with, that's all about leadership.
Well, Scar, it doesn't matter how long you and I will do this podcast or you and I will talk about Michigan football. We are always going to talk about the Rose Bowl victory over Nick Saban. And it's the great thing about sports is that Michigan, they needed to complete that. They don't complete that 4th-and-2 to Blake Corum, they're not going to win that game. They're probably, you know, you could probably pull about 3 or 4 more plays. Roman Wilson, the catch down there, the punt by Thaw that was, you know, down by the goal line, you know, stopping Milroe. Of course, there was going to be another overtime there. The point was, it was a very close game. Michigan could have lost that game. They didn't, which is meant everything. And it also sent the greatest, most accomplished college football coach into retirement. And since then, He has said himself, Saban, that the players, he didn't like that they were throwing around their helmets. And now, you know, he was on Capitol Hill yesterday.
He recruited them. If they're throwing their helmets, that's your discipline, coach.
Well,
you
hey.
Guys throw helmets.
Well, hey. At the end, like, this was it.
Well,
like,
that's I think his he was like, you recruit those college. Guys, that's what you get.
Well, this is the way college football was. But I also think that he was blaming the, if you heard him on Capitol Hill, the money.
I get it.
The
I know
money
he's
that
blaming.
The players are getting. They're not coming in and talking about, you know, playing for Alabama and working hard. To your point, the leadership and the discipline. They wanted to know how much money they were getting. They wanted to know about the playing time.
I get it. Well, that's yeah, well, Vinny, that's why when you're recruiting guys now and you're looking at that kid, what's he going to be doing a year from now, 2 years from now? You know, was Mason Graham, did he have his hand out like some of those Alabama guys that he's talking about? You recruit those kind of kids. Don't blame the system, Nick. Those are the kind of guys you recruited. Those are the kind of guys you filled your locker room with. Michigan and Jim and Sharon, maybe we're looking at different kind of guys. You know, yeah, they want – we're going to take care of them the best we can. Everybody, you know, the bottom line, you know, money talks, you know, BS walks. But, you know, maybe we got to, you know, we got to find – that's the eye of the great talent can look into that kid and see what's his attitude, man. What's he going to do a year from now, 2 years from now? So the idea that Saban isn't responsible for dudes throwing helmets, that ain't the kid, man. All of a sudden, you were the greatest coach ever. You had great discipline, and now all of a sudden you want to blame the kids? No, you got to take the good with the bad when you're the leader.
Good point. We talk so much about NIL and what it does for you, the players that you can land. You also have to have a blend a little bit of the eye for talent and development and being able to take care of them to be able to get that. So yeah, I mean that's pretty fascinating. You weren't buying all the things with Ted Cruz up there talking about you know Saban, you're the greatest, and what's going on with our
game? I didn't listen to it. No, Danny, I didn't. You know, I listen, man. There's some issues there. There's you know, all this money, and then they're talking about, you know, they won't have money for women's sports, and you know, I don't know where it's going to go. You know, I don't know where it's going to end up. But
I don't either.
I don't like. I've said it 100 times. I do not like to continue to add games. You want to continue to add 12 teams, more games, and you're just exploiting the kid. Oh, he's getting a scholarship. Well, okay, he's getting a scholarship. Well, they got that when they played 9 games, a scholarship. And now it's 12, championship game, blah, 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 12 teams. You know, it's 17 games these kids are going to play. Well, they're getting a scholarship. And that's the argument that a lot – listen, Danny, I think I'm really out – I think I'm outgunned on my thoughts on that. I think the average person in society could care less if a kid plays 17 college football games. Well, he's getting a scholarship. I just view it differently. I don't think you can continue to exploit these kids and have them play football year-round. You know, they do need to just go to school for a couple weeks a year and not have to be down there for 4 or 5 hours every day.
Well, don't worry. It's going to look a lot. People used to say it's going to look too much like the NFL. It looks like it's traveling towards being the NFL of sooner rather than later. You know, SEC, AFC. Big Ten, NFC, you know, they haven't even played the 12-game playoff. They want to go to 14 and then 16 after that. Get him some health care, revenue sharing. I mean, it's all there. It's such a great – we all love college football the way we sit and talk about it, but then you can just sit around just talking about the negative part and you could drive yourself crazy. But it's a great game. But it's a great game. It's so popular, and there's just so much money. You can't have that much money and not have people, you know, arguing about it and fighting over it. Look at all these educated, these presidents. They can't get to that trough enough to get all that money. I mean, it is life-changing for them, for their university. They fill up the coffer. I mean, paying for everything. People love football. That's what the bottom line is. A couple of years ago, people were talking about, I don't know, football might be going the way it might just be dodo bird here because of the CTE and the concussions. They were able to – people don't talk about that anymore. They just talk about the paying the players and just keeping this going and television contracts. That's what people talk about.
Yeah, Danny, one more thought on when I go to practice here in a couple of weeks. You know what I want to see from our quarterbacks? I really want to see one thing. I want to see all of our three guys we're looking at quarterback. I want them to just complete the easy passes. That's all I want to see. More than anything from those three guys, I want to see a guy that can shows accuracy and can complete the easy passes. Just be show me that we have three guys that can throw the football accurate. That's the big thing I want to see from our quarterbacks or when I go to spring practice.
Let's put a couple questions up here for you, Scar, before we go. This one is from GMA, who says he joined late, but he loved Wink's comment.
I just love that. You know, I love the terminology. You know, he can talk to young kids. He's got, you know, he's a communicator, man.
In all humility, I'm the OG of the.
I mean, that is great, man. You know, McDonald and Mentor worked under him, so it's just great. You know, those kids are going to be confident. That staff is going to be confident. Listen, we ain't changing nothing. You got, you know, a guy coming in that's been around, taught it.
Ferris says Tuttle was a 4-star. The 7th-year player that has seen it all has way more value than a true freshman, Julian Sayin. The floor for the Michigan quarterback is very high.
Yeah, listen, I'm not worried about competing against Julian Sayin this year. Okay, I'm talking about him 2-3 years from now. He's a good looking athletic kid, man. I watched his, I watched his high school film, and I could see where he was the top quarterback. We're gonna see the kid from Kansas State or one of those guys, but Yeah, hopefully I have great confidence in where we are at quarterback, and I just want to – that's all I want to see, because I think everything else, if we can complete the high percentage passes, and I think all three of them have already shown all of us that they have the ability to run the predetermined quarterback runs. They all three can escape pressure. Just show me you can complete the easy passes, and Scar will sleep good at night after going to that first practice.
Moose says Tuttle will not start. That's his prediction.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea who it's going to be. We're going to see. I have no idea.
Well, Scar, what were we going to start? I forgot at the beginning you wanted to say something, and I don't remember.
No, we covered it. I just wanted to get after Joel a little bit for saying Michigan was more committed, but he doesn't give anybody credit for that. And that's the essence of coaching, Denny. That's leadership. That's everything we want Sharon Moore to continue to do, that we have a more committed 140 players, and everybody at State Street is committed. That's leadership. So Joel didn't put any names connected to the lack of commitment.
Okay. I was looking at, I wanted to get up to 1,000 people watching right now, Scar, or, we're pushing over 800 right now.
So. Okay. All right. Well, we're trying to bring the wisdom. We're fired up, Denny. Guys are lifting. They're winding down, getting ready for spring practice. What do we got here? Do you really think a transfer QB will make a difference to a natty contender? I don't. Maybe better next year, but not a natty. Yeah, our coaches feel confident with those three guys. They've seen them every day in practice, and they think we can win with those three. So I'm right with them, man.
Well, if Mark's talking about Michigan and Tuttle, that's one question. But if you're talking about in college football in general, yes. You think about just what we saw last year from Quinn Ewers, from Ohio State to Texas. We saw Penix going from Indiana to Washington. We saw Caleb Williams going from Oakland. I mean, that's all we saw is the top quarterbacks being transfer quarterbacks. I think you're just talking about just Michigan here.
Or maybe he's referring to Ohio State, you know, too. And but yeah, I think he's talking about Michigan. But yeah, it definitely can help. You know, Notre Dame got the Duke kid. That's a proven player. So, but again, I have faith in Sherrone Moore and that he believes those three guys we can win with. He believes we can win with Crippen. He believes we can win with Geo. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. It's going to only help recruiting high school kids when you don't bring in 15 dudes every year like old Mel Tucker was doing.
Old Mel Tucker.
But it only helps recruiting high school kids, Denny, when you got your transfer numbers small. You know, I don't want to be that school that's just blowing up the transfer portal every year. And it's going to be harder to recruit high school kids.
Well, I don't mind either. I don't mind either way if it's working. Scar, great job. And, you know, go out. You got to hit the gym, go play golf. What do you do the rest of your day? You don't head to a dark casino room on a day like today.
Man, we got a little charity poker room up the street. I've been on a roll, man. Been playing, making some good plays. I told you, it's a lot like coordinating the defense, man. Sometimes you got to lie. Sometimes you got to fool. You got to scheme it up, man. It's a lot like that, man. So
this is what I want you to do today, Scar. If you sit down at the poker table, I want you to tell everybody this.
In all humility, I'm the OG of this.
I love it. All right, Denny, go blue, baby.
There he is, Jim Scarcelli. Smash that like.